So I want you to stop for a minute and think about that scene at Lazarus' house, that day that Mary anointed Jesus' feet with about $50,000 worth of perfume, which is the appropriate sum if you translate it into today's money. $50,000 worth of perfume. I suspect it was pretty much like any other dinner party that someone might have for some close friends. You know, the usual chit-chat, some laughter, the usual food, whatever was available at the market that day, probably some wine, some laughter, just a good time shared between old dear friends. And yet there was something different about this dinner party. There was a big something that made this little dinner party with friends unlike any other, because the host and the most important guest at the table shared something in common with each other. Lazarus, who had so recently been dead and buried for 4 long days, he was the host of the dinner party in Bethany, a village just outside of Jerusalem. And Lazarus' guest of honor was Jesus of Nazareth, the one who had raised him from the dead. And that by speaking just 3 simple little words, Lazarus, come forth. 3 little words, and 4-day-dead Lazarus joined the ranks of the living. On the day of that miracle, Jesus had referred to himself as the resurrection and the life. He had demonstrated his authority over death, but now, before the week was over, Jesus himself would be dead and buried, just like Lazarus had been. So you might wonder, as Lazarus and his sisters Mary and Martha sat around at the table with Jesus and his disciples, what was the conversation like? What topics did they discuss? Current events? Reminiscing over old times? They have a long history of being friends. Life? Death? Resurrection? However deep or light that talk around the table might have been, I suspect that something in their relationship had changed permanently the day that Lazarus walked out of that tomb as a living man. But that's not what made the time together awkward or uncomfortable. No, it was more than that. Something happened that probably brought the room, at least for a moment, into an awkward and uncomfortable silence. That is, until all hell broke loose right afterwards. Mary brought out a container of perfumed ointment called nard. Nard was an oil from a plant found in the Himalayan mountains, and it was expensive stuff, like $50,000. A year's pay, as Judas would point out. And the scent filled the air as Mary anointed Jesus' feet with the perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. Perhaps Mary's display of devotion stopped the conversation, but it didn't stop Judas Iscariot, who would soon seek payment to betray Jesus. Didn't stop him from commenting. He thought the oil should have been sold and the proceeds donated to the poor, or better yet, to himself. But Jesus answered that the poor would always be with them. Jesus' earthly time with them would soon come to an end. You know, at another dinner party in the same house, Mary had been moved to show her devotion to Jesus, their guest, and leaving her sister Martha to take care of the cooking and serving. You know this story, right? Because you Marthas out there are still angry about Jesus' words in this story, aren't you? And us Marthas are never going to get over what Jesus says. But at that party, when Martha complained about being left to do the work herself, Jesus pointed out that Mary had chosen the one necessary thing, listening to her Savior. Now, at this dinner party, so near to Jesus' final Passover here with the nard, it seems like Mary had once again chosen the necessary thing. She chose to anoint Jesus' feet, feet that would within a week be nailed to a cross. His body would be taken down from the cross and hastily buried on the same day as Jewish law required. Mary was anointing the body of Jesus, preparing him for the day of his burial. It was an act of love on her part, and it was necessary for her. It was necessary for Jesus. It was necessary for everyone sitting there at the table. It was a necessary thing that she did. Mary, on those two occasions, here and at the other dinner party where she chose to listen rather than help, chose the necessary thing. She may not have chosen so wisely in all of the circumstances in her life, but in those two, she chose the necessary thing. And we know that we certainly don't always choose the necessary things. We don't always choose to listen to Jesus' words. We don't always choose to walk in his ways. We don't always choose to make it clear to the world in word and in deed who our Lord and Savior is. All too often, we choose what isn't necessary. We may think it is, but too often, it's not. We choose to satisfy our own needs and desires. We choose to listen to the voices of this world instead of listening to Jesus. We choose the easy road rather than the hard road of discipleship and service. We choose to hide our light. We choose to hoard the gifts that God has given us rather than live out our faith boldly for the world to see and share God's blessings that we have with others. But God, in his mercy, he acted to save us, not because of the wise choices or necessary choices we make, not because of our charming behavior or our hard-won self-righteousness, but out of his own wisdom and out of his grace, his undeserved favor for us. God sent his Son to be our Savior, to bear our sins in his body on the cross and suffer the penalty of death so that we do not have to. Jesus chose to do the necessary thing in obedience to his Father's will. He chose to lay down his life to save us. Jesus said, "For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down by my choice. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take my life back up again." Sitting at the table with the disciples and with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, Jesus knew what lay ahead for him in the week to come. He would be betrayed and deserted by his friends. He'd be arrested and condemned to death. He would be crucified and quickly buried in a borrowed tomb. He would do as he had promised. He would lay down his life by his own choice, and he would take his life up again. When on the third day after his death, women went to the tomb to finish the anointing of his body that Mary had begun that night at that dinner party, they would find that their efforts were unnecessary because the tomb was open and empty. He had risen from the dead just as he said he would. And his resurrection life is the life that he shares with us because it's necessary, but because it's out of his great love for us. In baptism, we were washed clean with water. We were sealed with the Holy Spirit. We were anointed for our burial. That's what baptism is. And we were buried with Jesus in baptism and raised up from those baptismal waters to walk in newness of life. Right here, right now, we were raised to seek, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the necessary things. Listening to the Word of God, devoting ourselves to him and to the service of others in his name. And finally, on our last day of this life, we will be raised up from our graves, not like Lazarus was to eventually die again, but as Jesus was raised, not to die again. And we will sit at the table with our Lord to celebrate the wedding feast of the Lamb who was slain for us all. We will join with Mary and Martha and Lazarus and all of the saints to worship and enjoy God together. Here at this table, we have a foretaste of that great feast that is to come. Here at this table, we join with our brothers and sisters in Christ, but then we will gather with all of God's chosen from all times and places. Now we have a little bread and a little juice, But then God will fill us with all good things. Now we celebrate, and yet our joy is not complete. Then we will be filled with great joy forever. So come to this table. Come to this table and share with your brothers and sisters in Christ this little foretaste of heaven on earth. Come and be joyful, and then get ready for our Lord to surprise us with what is yet to come. As Mary's gift was in preparation for Jesus' death and burial, as Jesus' resurrection from the dead was in preparation for our own resurrection to life eternal in Jesus Christ, so too this table we gather at this morning is in preparation for the wedding feast of the Lamb in this life and in the world to come. Amen.